Before I left Florida last spring, I visited a ministerial friend of mine in Fort Pierce. Bob is an African-American minister of a small Protestant church, and we had met and become friends the year before. He greeted me enthusiastically and said, "Boy, am I glad to see you. I've got something I want to show you." We went outside and around the back of his church to the house next door. He was grinning as he told me that his church members had bought this house some months ago. His congregation was well aware of the housing crisis in Fort Pierce because of the damage caused by Hurricanes Frances and Jean 2 years ago. Hundreds of people, particularly in the black neighborhoods, have been left homeless. And his congregation had decided that they had to reach out and help their neighbors. They set up a website advertising a reconstruction project, and soon work crews from all over the country and Canada began coming to Fort Pierce to help rebuild the homes around the church. The visiting crews were housed in this new church property, and church members brought in meals and household supplies. He told me with pride that over 80 houses have been rebuilt or repaired in less than a year. I should tell you that his church has only 76 members, and most of these folks are working people. What a huge undertaking and huge accomplishment for this small congregation. After touring the house, we returned to his office to talk, and he said that he was having difficulty writing the sermon for the upcoming Sunday. He explained that several of his parishioners had expressed doubts about their Christian faith. The problem seemed to be that no matter how hard they prayed, their prayers were not answered, and they questioned whether anyone was even listening. This was a crisis of faith which Bob felt he simply had to address. How could he clear their doubts? How could he help restore their faith? Did I have any suggestions? I felt obliged to try and give him some sort of answer, so I said that it seemed to me that his congregation was living their faith, despite the doubts of some of their members. Could their accomplishments, which have been much greater than their small numbers, be understood as God's presence working through them to help their neighbors? A. Powell Davies answered the question about God's presence in this way. Quote, "When someone asks, 'Where now is thy God?' we can answer that the sacred is where it always was, in the struggle, in the pain of our hearts, in the growing clearness of our minds, in the sharpening edge of conscience, in the welling up of courage, in the purpose we cannot forsake and never will," unquote. Bob had decided to write his sermon about doubt and questioning, and he hoped that his words would restore faith in the hearts and minds of his listeners. He had chosen the example of Abraham Lincoln to make his point. His church members knew from American history that Abraham Lincoln had been a great president, that he had written the Emancipation Proclamation, which had abolished slavery in all the states. He reasoned that if his members loved and revered Abraham Lincoln, even though they knew of him only through history, couldn't they believe in the love and presence of Jesus Christ, who they knew only through the New Testament? Good question. I had just finished reading the recent biography of Abraham Lincoln entitled Team of Rivals, and I told Bob about the book. From our conversation, he was able to find some material that he could add to his sermon. I'm going to come back to Abraham Lincoln in a while. Later, I thought, different our religious perspectives are. In Bob's church, unquestioned faith in a supreme being is very important. And it is this faith and sense of mission that motivated this small congregation to take on this neighborhood housing project. I was reminded of a quote from a recent article by UU Minister Emeritus Jack Mendelson, in which he says, quote, "Heinrich Heine, the German poet, was gazing with a friend at the cathedral in Amiens. Asked the friend, 'Tell me, Heinrich, why can't people build piles like this anymore?' Answered Heinrich, 'My dear friend, in those days, people had convictions. We moderns have opinions. It takes more than opinions to build a Gothic cathedral.'" Bob's parishioners certainly have strong convictions about their mission in the world. I have the greatest respect for Bob and the good works of his church. However, I, and I suspect other Unitarian Universalists, could not be part of a church that required unquestioned and unexamined belief in an external supreme being. In fact, I left the church of my childhood to become a Unitarian Universalist when I was in college because of that expectation. No, we have no prescribed set of beliefs. Instead, we are challenged to use our intellectual, emotional, and interpersonal skills as we search for the values and the principles that guide our lives and our actions in the world. This, as we know, is a lifelong journey. Questions and doubts are essential to the process, as they help to maintain the vitality and relevance of our faith. A few minutes ago, I said that Bob's congregation was motivated to act because of their strong Christian faith. Where do we derive our sense of mission? What are our convictions? We don't start this journey with a blank slate. Because our rich Unitarian and Universalist histories hold the answer. In a recent sermon entitled "The Purpose-Driven Unitarian," Reverend Tim Jensen writes, quote, "The highest purpose in life for 19th century Unitarian forebears was to be of use. Our Puritan ancestors believed that every individual had both a general and a particular vocation, some unique and special gift or talent which God had given us, which we are to use to make the world better, to be of service to others. When we seek to serve others, we expand our lives in ways that we can't even begin to imagine or anticipate before starting down that path. How do you know who you really are? Until you've discovered what you can do, not just for yourself, but for those who need what only you can give them." Unquote. Unitarian Universalism is a mission-based faith. That is an integral part of our Christian heritage, and we share that with Bob's Protestant Church. It's very important what we believe, what religious truths we hold dear, but it's equally important how we live those values, how we act in the world, how we contribute, how we are of use, how we live a faithful life. Jack Mendelson sums up this idea for saying, quote, "For me, the fundamental question of life is not why, but how. How shall I live while I live? This is the bedrock question. In answering it, what I believe matters very much." Unquote. how do we live a life faithful to the mission of giving back to the world? As a minister, I believe that there's only one role that is appropriate for clergy of any denomination, and that is the role of service to one's constituency within the church or broader community. Don Rowley once told me that he saw his ministry as support to his congregation as members strove to reach their highest potential. In order to do this, he said, it was important that he model the highest ethical behavior. To live ethically within one's religious tradition, to give to the world one's efforts and talents, are the principles that apply to all of us. To return to the example of Abraham Lincoln for a second, we know a lot about his accomplishments, his brilliance, and his honesty. But few of us also know that he was modest, respectful, shy, and patient. He was totally committed to the cause of saving our young country from dissolution, which he believed would happen if secession of the southern states became permanent. To the cause of saving the country, he committed all his time and energy, compromising his own health and certainly his family life. His efforts were often thwarted, derided, or unrecognized. He made mistakes, and he was criticized and disliked, not only by the public, but even by members of his own cabinet. He made decisions slowly, and he worried and agonized about the consequences of his actions. He suffered from grief and depression. However, throughout a long and terrible civil war, he never gave up. His fame, when it came, recognized his brilliant mind, his courage, and selfless devotion to the country and to his great humanity. Our denomination has a long history of leadership. We were at the forefront of such movements as the abolition of slavery, women's suffrage, civil rights, and now equal rights for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. All of these causes were way ahead of their time and unpopular, if not dangerous, to those who supported them. They required ongoing commitment and enormous courage. Unitarian and Universalist leaders of the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries were and are active in these movements. We are not Abraham Lincoln, nor are we one of our historical leaders. But we too can make a difference in the world, not only within our own family, but in the larger community. We have beliefs, we have convictions about how to live in the world, how to act in the world. Identify a cause or good works that inspire you. Make a commitment to that work, even if it tests your resolve. Conviction, cause, commitment, courage, hallmarks of a faithful life. As A. Powell Davies reminds us about the presence of God, we can answer that the sacred is where it always was, in the struggle, in the welling up of courage, in the purpose we cannot forsake and never shall. Each of us has unique gifts that only we can give, whether we work alone or with others to accomplish a common goal. Our work will change us. We will be more than we were when we reach out to help other people. Whether we believe in a supreme being external to our lives, or whether we believe that the power resides within the human spirit, are different religious perspectives that each of us must answer for ourselves. I can accept theological views that differ from my own and I'm also a pragmatist. What is more important to me is that we agree that we have a mission, that there is work to be done, and that we are ready to commit ourselves to that work. My graduation speaker at Meadville Lombard in 2004 challenged us new graduates to go out and change the world. That challenge is something that I will never forget. It has inspired me, and I hope that it inspires you. It is now time for our service to end and our service to others to begin. Amen. Let's join our voices in singing hymn 121, We'll Build a Land. Hymn 121.